the key to forgiveness is to realize that we are all ultimately students and teachers for each other. That's a concept, right? I mean, we ultimately are in a journey of life which has one purpose: for us to grow, to evolve, and I believe, hopefully, every time become a better version of ourselves. And so sometimes, as we already know, the worst experiences, the worst people are the most powerful teachings and teacher. And we sometimes get hooked up or hung up by what emotions we felt when we went through those lessons, but we don't necessarily go back and reflect. So what is there for me really to learn about that? So here's an example. Anne was someone who was growing up with an absent father and a depressed mother who was pretty much vacillating between completely being checked out or being very critical. Nothing that Anne was doing was ever good enough. It was always just met with judgment by the mother. And still, Anne didn't give up. Anne thought, well, if I'm going to make mom smile and maybe even laugh, if I can make mom a little bit happy, maybe she's going to heal her depression. And finally, I'm going to have the mom that I always wanted. So she kept on going with being the good girl who did all the chores that the mothers pretty much neglected. She had great reports from school, and she did little skits for the mom, told her stories, and sometimes invented them just to get somehow a little bit of a better energy at home. But it didn't really help. The mother was absolutely stuck in her depression, and the daughter was only someone that she felt ultimately weighed down by, an obligation she didn't want to deal with. And eventually that really was sinking in to Anne's little mind, and she felt that it was her fault. It wasn't the mother, because she was ill and she was alone, and that's the person to feel sorry for. It was her, Anne's fault, that this wasn't getting any better. And there must be something fundamentally wrong with her. And so she started to more and more reject herself and eventually hate herself. But it didn't prevent her to continuously take care of the mom. It didn't make her closed off or bitter. It just made her closed off and angry at herself. And even when she was an adult, she continued to look after her mom until she was passing. When she came to me, she was stuck in a conflict of basically feeling, on the one hand, a sense of relief and freedom, but on the other hand, also a huge void, as if there was the life's purpose that was all of a sudden gone. And because she didn't know how to deal with these emotions, she also put a lot of emphasis on the past and ran through all these things that she felt she did wrong. She blamed herself a lot, and she also more and more realized that her mom wasn't really stepping up in the way that she should have for a little girl. So when we went back into the past and just went with the idea that there was something that she learned from her mother, who was a life's teacher, albeit a not very nice one, and that there was also something that now that she can look back at it, she may have not seen before. We went down memory lane as spectators and just looked from the outside at the relationship between this young child and then teenager and adult and the mother. And what she realized is that what the mother was doing was ultimately shutting down, that the mother was withholding any kind of love, any kind of attachment, because she was so disappointed in her life that she didn't want to even have any kind of positive emotion anymore. She was completely steeped in that sense of sadness, and bitterness. So her heart was closed. And whether it was the depression in itself or that horrible marriage or choices that she had made that made her feel stuck, but the mother felt very powerless. And just by looking at this from the outside, that made Anne realize that there is a lot of compassion that she could feel for the mother and that she already knew she had shown to the mother all those years. But what she had not seen was that whatever the mother was doing had nothing to do with Anne. It has nothing to do with Anne because the relationship with the world included everyone, including the mother's relationship with herself, which was ultimately a relationship of complete numbness. There was nothing for the mom to give, and there was also nothing that the mom gave herself. And therefore, no matter what Anne would have done differently, it would have not changed anything. So that was a relief for her to see. But then she also realized with astonishment how this little girl was tirelessly trying still to help the mother. It is as if she was like a little child trying to blow this big dark cloud over the mother's head away with her sheer force and never gave up. Never gave up on being the one that gave her the love that the mother was never able to give to her child. And that made Anne realize that she is incredibly strong, that it really takes so much courage to not just follow the image of the mother and shut down and separate herself and not care, but that she continued to make an effort to show up with goodness, with love, with kindness. And that made this little girl, this made the adult looking at this little girl with really, really amazing gratitude. And certainly also a sense of pride, because she didn't really understand how was I able to keep so open? Where did I get the strength to keep on going? How was I not giving up? So that strength was astonishing for her. And what was also astonishing, but more in a sad way, was that all that love that she was pouring out for her mother, she completely deprived herself from. She treated herself like the mother was treating her, and she treated the mother like she wanted to be treated by her. And that was a learning that shifted everything, because she saw, I am capable of loving. I'm capable of being supportive. I'm capable of being an advocate for someone, even if that someone struggles. I'm capable of seeing the goodness in others, even if they cannot see it themselves. Why can I not do this for myself? Why can I not see my own goodness? Why can I not be my own advocate? Why can I not be that loving source, that source of safety and support that I was for my mother, but she could never be for myself? Something lifted in her. It just turned the whole concept of the past upside down, from feeling that she is to blame or feeling that the circumstances were all dark. She was able now to see her own light. It became the story of a little hero who was marching through a dark valley of an early childhood that ultimately didn't feel like there was any reward in, but the reward came when she realized that is really who I am. I am a person who is all heart. I am a person who has enormous tenacity. I am a person who doesn't give up on others, and I'm a person I can really feel proud of. So think about yourself in regards to what you want to forgive, if there is something for you to learn. And for that, you can ask yourself questions. The simple question is, was it my fault? Was it my fault? What happened to me? Could I have prevented this from happening? And most of the times, you probably would say, no, I didn't really choose to be mistreated. It wasn't really anything I caused. And it's not a reflection on me. It is a reflection on what others were dealing with. Back to the bullies. Bullies often get bullied at home. They often deal with trauma among their siblings or parents. And so this bottled up energy comes out, unfortunately, in that very destructive way. Or they feel very powerless, so they want to feel more powerful by taking the power from others. Not your fault when you were bullied, but something that you can now learn from. So ask yourself, why did they treat me this way? And just come up with an answer. You can come up with a story. We don't even know exactly always the ins and outs, but why did Anne's mother treat her this way? It was probably also something that she experienced from her childhood. And the circumstances with this marriage certainly didn't help. And maybe there were, in Anne's mother's case, also dreams that she could never really fulfill because now she was stuck with a marriage and a child that she didn't feel like she could escape. Try not to make excuses, but trying to separate their story and their challenges from what they did to you. Simply to emphasize, it is really something they were dealing with, and unfortunately, I was that target, or I was that what projection screen that they put it all on. And then you can ask yourself, why did I respond this way? Why did I not say anything? Why did I not fight back? Why did I continue to go back and try again to reconcile or be good or whatever the things are that you're blaming yourself for? Just have also more understanding and compassion for yourself. And that really helps when you are, again, the observer. Rather than putting yourself back into the shoes of the child, just see it more like a movie from the outside. And sometimes you really feel, wow, if I can see now myself so little and what happened to me during that time was so overwhelming, I can understand that a lot of my reaction was maybe feeling paralyzed. And in that paralysis, just overwhelmed and confusion, not really sure what to do. And when we feel unsafe, fight, flight, and freeze are pretty much the options. And as a younger person, you don't necessarily fight. Flight is not an option because you cannot really take care of yourself. So freeze and just holding still is often that the only available options that you may feel at that time. And try again just to see this all. And again, it doesn't have to be in one setting. It can be just also through several tries to understand more. That story that you have been telling yourself that led you to feel shame and self-rejection is not really the story that is reflecting the truth, reflecting all that what occurred. And when you are putting the lens of compassion, especially self-compassion, on, you may actually find out that it makes much more sense to see yourself as someone that didn't deserve to be treated like this and certainly didn't deserve to now treat yourself like this. You also want to ask yourself, what can I learn from this in regards to not let this happen again? And this can be about boundaries. This can be about recognizing that maybe after something happened to you that really made you feel small or question yourself, that you repeated relationships where people made you once again doubt and question yourself, maybe because you just wanted to resolve this first relationship by finally proving to yourself that, hey, I can actually have a good relationship with a person who at first doesn't see my value, but eventually I can convince them. Most of the times, unfortunately, that doesn't really work out. So recognizing that not everyone needs to like you. You don't need to get along with everyone. Seeing more the patterns that you want to avoid, that's a form of a boundary. Maybe you can really also see that how to prevent this from happening is actually not letting it happen inside of yourself. So where you would say, I can, of course, continue to beat myself down and continuously tell myself that I'm a horrible person and I made every mistake in the world, or I can actually build myself up, feel more self-love, feel more trust in myself, have more confidence, and therefore also be much more equipped to say no, to push back, to advocate for myself, to have a voice. So realizing that building yourself up, enhancing yourself, supporting yourself, believing in yourself is a way better option to not let the past repeat itself, than to be in a place where you ultimately play duck and cover. And then ask yourself, what do I want to release that others put upon me? So there it's really helpful to have a list of the things that you know are ultimately the aftermath of other people's mistreatment. So this could be a belief about yourself that you're not good enough, or that you're not interesting, or that maybe you shouldn't really ever say something out loud because it's only ridiculous and people are going to make fun of you. It can also be that you feel this deep anger inside of you that could be anger that you have absorbed from others. People that have been abused, especially sexually abused, also often feel guilt, a very profound sense of shame that whatever happened to them is really defining them. And that guilt is also, at least in part, something that is absorbed from that perpetrator, the abuser, who may subconsciously realize that this was absolutely the wrong thing to do, but they still did it anyhow. Then there are also the things that you want to release that may have to do with what it made you do to yourself. So if you have been really the victim of some past trauma and you realize what I'm doing to myself because of it is avoiding, or is having very critical self-talk, or is maybe some behavior around other people that makes me feel either very submissive or makes me also just standoffish or not even want to have relationships. Maybe it could be that I, as an aftermath, never feel safe anywhere, never feel that I matter to anyone, never believe that I really should be here. So all of those things, maybe now something you realize as you take an inventory, that is not me. This is something that happened because of what other people did to me. And I don't have to take this baggage with me. I don't have to continue to be chained to those events and whatever my mind believed it needed to do in order to be safe or to deal with these events. That can be very freeing, just to choose to, Danielle often says, it's like you choose to put yourself upside down, hanging by your feet, and everything falls out of the pockets. And then you go and sort through, well, what do I want to still keep in the pockets and what do I actually want to let go of? And there may be a lot that you feel like, I want to let go of this because it doesn't define me. Maybe you were told that you cannot sing, or that you're too loud, or that you're not funny at all, or that you're too emotional and crybaby. So you were preventing yourself from doing all of this. You prevented yourself from being creative, to being vocal, from showing emotions, maybe even feeling your emotions. Maybe you prevented yourself from asking for help because you felt like, I'm just a nuisance. People always tell me that I should grow up and not rely so much on others. So yes, those are the moments when you go through it that, or this is the moment when you go through it that makes you realize that is not how I want to be. That is not a reflection on who I really am. And I'm going to reclaim now this power to take those pieces back that literally were stolen from me. And I liken it to our innocence. If our innocence is basically the wholeness of who we are, the way we were born, all the pieces still in place, not totally evolved, not totally yet expressed, but everything was still there. And then there are people that damage us and take pieces from us, take the trust, take the sense of safety, take the sense of love, take the sense of feeling that you're worthy. And they may be already dead, but you still feel like it's with them. This is something that you, through forgiveness and through this process, want to take back. Take those missing pieces back and reconstitute your wholeness, your innocence, who you really are. And when it comes to self-forgiveness, you may want to spend some time answering the questions of, why did I let this happen? Or why didn't I see it sooner? Or why didn't I leave? And why didn't I say anything to someone else? Or why did I fail? What is wrong with me that this happened to me? So getting also answers to that and coming from a place of compassion and realizing that self-blame is a form of self-punishment. And it is absolutely not fair to be punished for that, what other people did to you. It's absolutely not fair for you to take that responsibility for something that you were completely innocent in. You cannot let someone steal something from you and then make yourself feel the one that should have seen this coming or should have prevented it, rather than realizing, I feel something was robbed from me and this is not right. This is not fair. It should not have happened. So in order for this forgiveness process to really work, you do need to forgive others and yourself. That creates a clean slate. And one thing you can do is, again, use some affirmations to already claim that whatever happened in the past is no longer who you are now. So again, if you want to close your eyes and you can repeat after me, I know more now. I'm no longer the same person as I was before. I have grown. I have evolved. I'm stronger now. I see more clearly what happened to me. And now I can see more clearly who I truly am. I am willing to continuously grow. And I can see right now that I'm not a reflection of the past. I am that I'm more and more aspiring to grow into. I choose to forgive myself with compassion and understanding. I choose to forgive others with compassion and understanding. I choose to be free from the past so that I can now rediscover more and more the truth of who I am. I choose to see the goodness in myself. I choose to be amazed by who I was and who I am and who I'm becoming. And I choose to believe that I am enough and that I can accept myself throughout the time, goes deep inside. I choose to love myself. Once you really feel like that you have learned all the things you needed to learn and you have a sense of relief, it's almost like you have put the pieces of the puzzle together that may have just appeared before completely chaotic. You can add a visualization to it by simply picturing the people that you want to forgive, including your younger self, and simply imagining light of love and compassion to go to your younger self and also go to the people that you want to forgive and let go of. And the difference is that while you're visualizing the others, you can picture them becoming more and more light. And in some ways, you can see them just dissolving in front of your eyes, which means that they don't really have any power over you anymore. And any kind of attachments or any kind of sense of feeling trapped with them is also dissolving as you're choosing now to feel complete. And with your younger self that you want to forgive, you bring the younger self into your heart. So rather than dissolving the younger self, you actually embrace the younger self, let this younger self really come to an integration inside of you and feel like that whatever you did at that time was the best that you could do. And you are in complete acceptance now with that or those choices and those limited options that you have had. That's a nice little add-on that you can do also again several times until it really is deeply ingrained. And finally, as an exercise, you can write a letter now from this place of forgiveness, a letter to those that you have let go of by stating everything that you have learned. And maybe even adding on everything that they could have learned from you, which is what Anne did, and where she listed all the things that the mother could have really benefited from if she would have just opened her heart a little bit more to this little girl, because she could have had so much fun and there could have been so many adventures and she could have learned so much about compassion and kindness. But the mother wasn't willing or able to do that. And you're basically just writing from a place of empowerment. Well, this is how I grew. And this is how you could have grown, but you chose probably not to. But I wish you all the best. And then the last point, invent a letter from those that hurt you. I mean, maybe you want to even ask ChatGPT to write a letter like this, where they apologize for everything that they did to you, that they take responsibility. They finally come clean. They're asking for forgiveness. Now, I know this is not a letter that you will receive, just as the letter that you're writing, you will not send to those people. But when you're reading the letter and imagining it's in the voice of the people that you have been forgiving, there is something really healing for that subconscious. It's whatever it has been waiting for is finally happening. Maybe it's about a parent that finally says, I always loved you and I'm so sorry that I could never show you. And maybe I was not even so aware of how deep that love actually is. Your subconscious will take it in like a dry sponge and really feel finally replenished. Because the subconscious doesn't really care about reality or fiction. It just cares about the emotions it can gather in any given time. So give your subconscious that healing. And it's not pretending, it's not living in an airy fairy unicorn world. It's simply saying, this is the final layer that puts the past to rest. I am fulfilled. No need to wait any longer. No need to feel any kind of void or lack. I have now everything I need. And that can really make a huge difference. There is a forgiveness process. It's called the disentanglement process in my book, which is also out as an audiobook, The Empowerment Solution. The edition that I cannot really teach you here is that there is a subconscious release piece with it that is very powerful. Because sometimes we may feel consciously, absolutely, we are ready, we can now separate ourselves from the past, but then subconsciously there is still some stickiness that this process can help to deal with and to release. So if you have any questions about it, please write in the comment section, press like button, and subscribe, and spread the word if there are other people that you know can benefit from it. Bring them to this channel. Thank you.